and real living faith word feed your spirit. Like you're saying, it nourishes you, it builds you up.
There's not anything like it.
Nothing.
If you've never experienced it,
yeah.
Ask the Lord to help you.
Yes.
Pray and say, Lord, I want in on that.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
There is so much God wants to share with you. All you have to do is spend time with Him. Join Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as they continue with Walking in the Fullness of God's Light and Staying in His Love.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we worship You, and we give You all of the honor and the glory for every word that's said and every deed that is accomplished through this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me again today and welcome Keith Moore to this broadcast. Praise God.
Thank you, sir.
Keith, yesterday's broadcast really helped me.
Praise God.
I need you just follow me around and talk to me about that. I'll tell you. It always, we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. Faith words nourish.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk in the Word, if you don't ever do that, your word nourishment level gets low.
Mm-hmm.
And churches miss it by not fellowshipping around the Word. You have a church social or something, they'll all get together and talk about the weather and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the habit, a lot of churches are not, and talking the Word. We get together and that's all we talk about.
Yes.
And we bring Jerry and Carolyn, Dennis and Vicki Berg, and Jesse and Kathy Duplantis, and having Jeannie Caldwell, and Jerry and Carolyn Savelle, and any of them, we get around. That's still all we talk about.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it turns into a meeting, and you're just sitting around the kitchen table. We were in a Full Gospel Businessmen's World Convention. This was back in the 70s. And we'd gone in for breakfast before the meeting started. And we sat down for breakfast, around 8 o'clock, I guess. And there was six of us in this booth. And we just got to talking, and we were sitting there having breakfast and, planning on finishing up, being in the meeting by about 9 or something like that. And we just visited around, and the girl came back over there and said, would y'all like to have a lunch menu? It just seemed like we'd been there 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We said, well, yeah, we done missed the morning session. We had lunch, and it just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And she came back by in a little while and said, would y'all like to have a dinner menu? We sat there through 3 meals, Keith.
Uh-huh.
We missed everything else, but this nourishment of the Word was so strong.
Mm.
And this was back before there were very many churches that were available to go to like there are now, where you do get fed the Word of God. We left there. I'm telling you, it was like, let me at them. You know, I was ready to hit the trail again, praise God.
Yeah.
But we spent all day at it.
Hmm.
Here a few weeks ago, the Lord said, I want you to go minister to this group of ministers. Well, I went there. Well, they was ready. I preached all day long, man.
Yeah.
And all day. I'm talking about going into the night from the morning to broke for lunch, went into the the evening hours.
Mm-hmm.
But, the power of the nourishment of that Word. And if you try to live without it, you're inviting death itself into your life, even though you know the Lord as your Savior, but your faith goes flat. And faith worketh by love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is to faith what air is to a tire.
Right.
And it gets a leak, man. Mm-hmm. It goes out. And I'm saying all that to tell you this. You sure did help me yesterday.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
So now,
Thank you, Lord.
Get at it again. I'm just as hungry as I was yesterday,
sir.
Man.
I
praise
know people
God.
That are not familiar with what you're talking about, they think, preaching? That much preaching? You know, man, I don't know if I could do that, if I could take that. Well, it's real simple. Do you like to eat? You know, if you're hungry, do you like to eat? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about dead intellectual religious stuff. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And real living faith word feeds your spirit. Like you're saying, it nourishes you. It builds you up.
There's not anything like it.
Nothing.
If you've never experienced it, ask the Lord to help you.
Yes.
Pray and say, Lord, I want in on that.
Right.
Well, you can begin it here, but we only have a few minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. I learned this by locking into, back in the days of tapes, where I was listening to tapes. Well, today you got CDs, you got DVDs.
Right.
But it grows, particularly when you're in a situation where there's other hungry people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. We used to just goad Brother Hagin, try and get him to go some more. You know? And he'd kind of smile, and sometimes he would.
Yep.
But other times, he'd just kind of grin at you and quit. You know. Amen.
We've been looking at 1 John. It describes walking in the light, that first chapter. And on yesterday's broadcast, we went into detail about how joy is connected with light and life, and how that the enemy comes to put out that light, to steal your joy, and we must not allow him to do this. The scripture said, verse 4 of 1 John 1, he said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." If you're fellowshipping with the Lord, you're walking in the light, you're doing the Word, you will have joy. And the more you do walk in the light, the more light you'll have, the more joy you'll have. There's two things the Lord dealt with me about in connection with this, about what we see and being honest about what we see. If you see it, don't let anybody tell you don't see it.
Yeah. If,
you know, don't let anybody snuff that or talk you out of that. And it's the joy that comes. The enemy's always trying to confuse you or complicate the issues. And he brought me to a passage in John 6, if we could go there today. John chapter 6. And it talks about, this was at a high point, naturally looking, in Jesus' ministry. A lot of people were going to the meetings. There was a lot of excitement. It was kind of, you might say, if people looked at it from a natural standpoint, this was the high point as far as his crowds, as far as the buzz in the area about Jesus' meetings. The crowds were huge, and so many people were involved in coming. But something happened this day that really affected the crowds, the attendance, everything. Jesus taught a message on eat my flesh and drink my blood. And when he did, a huge part of the group and crowd that had been following him and going to the meetings lost their excitement.
They got up and left. Keith, now, I've had that happen on a small scale, but not like it was on him that day.
Many of the people changed.
He didn't try to get them to come back either.
That's what I'm getting to. Right there. Mm. Verse 60 in John 6, it said, "Many, therefore, of his disciples." Now, there were a lot of people that were just curious attenders, and they left. But these are not just curious attenders. These were his disciples. These were his partners. These were his followers.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Not a few of them, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? And like you're saying, as you keep reading the passage, he did not try to explain this.
No.
He did not try to calm them down and comfort them and get them to stay hooked. If anything, seemed like he egged them the other way.
He said,
does this bother you?
Yeah. Well, and, what do you think about this?
He says, what if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Well, they didn't grasp that. They didn't know what he had talked about. They didn't know what he was dealing with. He said, it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah.
Read that again, Keith.
He said it's the Spirit that quickens. And again, we're talking about life and light and joy.
That word quicken is, it's a very special English word. You know, when you say, man, I pulled that into the quick.
Uh-huh.
It was really alive in there. When
Living
you hit
flesh,
that,
yeah.
boy, mm-hmm. man. And it's talking about life. Life, light, energy.
Yes.
Spiritual energy, man. Mm-hmm. And the word, it is the Spirit that quickens.
Gives life.
Oh, gives life.
Light. Joy. Mm. And the flesh profits nothing. They were thinking totally flesh, totally natural. And he said blood, they just saw blood and they saw flesh, they saw meat and flesh. And they're not getting what he's saying, but this is not the biggest problem. The fact that they didn't understand it was not the problem. They thought it was. It was a lack of faith. And when you become offended, you lose your faith.
Oh yeah, Mark 4, he taught on that.
Becoming offended is what the reason you did is because you are turning loose of your faith. Like we studied on yesterday with the rich young man, he lost his excitement. And you could say he became offended at the instructions and light Jesus gave him about liquidating and following him. He found that objectionable and offensive, and he turned loose of his light and excitement.
That's what sadness does.
Yeah.
He didn't have to leave.
No.
I don't care how mad he got.
Right.
Or how sad or how grieved. He didn't have to leave.
Right.
But he got so offended, he left.
Yeah.
And that's... Why?
But what it did, and this happens in every human being's life, every one of us, this will happen. Things like this will be allowed. Situations where we do not understand. We don't see it, we don't understand it, we don't have the answers. And it is time for us to demonstrate faith. You don't have to understand to trust.
That's right.
And that's where people are missing it right and left. They'll look up and go, well, yeah, but I just don't understand that. You don't have to understand it to trust. Well, until I see that, I just can't go along with it. And that's what they were saying. They were saying, hold on. Drink my blood, eat my flesh. That can't be right. And it went on to say, verse 64, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He's got all these people in his ministry, Brother Kenneth, that don't really believe in him.
Oh, man.
All these people in the crowds, and as long as they understand and can go along with everything he's saying and doing, that's wonderful. Oh yeah, we're part of that. But when it comes up something, see, the Father God, the Spirit of God did this on purpose this day. He purposely gave Jesus revelation, purposely had him teach it, knowing they would not understand it, knowing it would not appeal to them, their reaction of their flesh and mind would be to reject it, but they did not have to go this way. It was time for them to say, well, I don't understand it, but I believe in you.
I'm going to stay with him.
And I'm going to stay with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what this was about. They didn't have light on this message, but they had seen enough and heard enough and gotten enough light that they should have trusted.
Now, Keith, hold it here a minute. They had just seen him feed thousands of people.
Exactly. Exactly.
That had just occurred. That's right over here in the very first part of this chapter.
Right. Same chapter. Yep.
So it wasn't like, who is he?
Right.
I mean, listen, they ate that day at his expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care whether he bought the food or did it by a miracle.
Yeah.
There still was a display of this man's connection with
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did happen as a miracle, that's even more so.
Yes.
And they chose to walk off.
This thing about I don't understand.
I can't get away from that. That's what that rich young ruler did.
Exactly.
He walked off.
Mm-hmm.
They got up and walked off. They didn't have to leave.
And didn't come back.
Man, oh man.
Did not come back. It goes on to say, it said, you know, that they said it was a hard saying, but down in verse 65, he said, no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back, and that perfectly describes it.
Yeah, it does.
They went backwards.
And walked with him no more.
And he is the light. And if you walk with him, you walk in light and not in darkness. But if you turn away from him and go back, you're leaving the light, going into darkness.
I'm thinking of one person right now, but I've had, I can just give a synopsis because I've had this happen numbers of times. He called me and said, oh man, when I think about now, where I could be with God and with ministry
mm-hmm.
and all the trouble that I've been through
mm-hmm.
because I got talked out of
yep.
the word of faith.
Exactly.
And he said back there, years and years and years ago, over 30 years at the time that I was talking
mm-hmm.
to him. And like I said, this is pretty well a synopsis of a lot of people. A lot of them I hadn't heard from,
mm-hmm.
but I know that it happened. Where are you going to go if you walk away from the Word of God? Because we hadn't preached ideas. We've stayed right strong hard
right.
on the words of Jesus and the words of life from the Bible, from Scripture, to mm-hmm. have more than one Scripture on everything, track it very carefully.
That's right.
And then turn your back on it and go back to religious tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, when you turned around, man, you walked into a dark cave.
And death.
It's a dangerous thing, isn't
it? It is. And it's one of the most serious things about it is you are saying, by allowing yourself to be offended and unhooking, they were saying, we don't believe in you.
Yeah.
We don't believe in your character, in your integrity. You're off. You're mixed up. You're wrong. This wasn't just a doctrinal thing. It was a losing of their faith in the person of Jesus. And that's why he didn't chase them and try to explain it to them. Because, like you said, they've seen these miracles, the feeding of the multitudes. They've seen the sick healed. They've seen all of this stuff. And they've heard amazing light come through the Master.
Mm-hmm.
And now one thing that they don't understand, and they just washing their hands of him walking
getting
away.
Getting mad about it and turn around and walk off.
That's it. Well, now what they have done is judge themselves unworthy of association with him.
Now, say that again.
Ooh. They think they've judged himself untrustworthy and that he's off doctrinally.
Yeah.
But it's not true. You know, it's like people saying, I tried that, talking about the word.
Yeah.
I tried that. Yeah. It didn't work. No.
No.
The psalmist said, Joseph, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. People got it backwards.
Yeah.
And so when they say, I tried that, it didn't work. No, it tried you and you quit. You failed. So when they're saying they judge him as off and doctrinally incorrect, no, what happened? They judge themselves unworthy of eternal life, unworthy of association with him in the kingdom. God, and in time to come, when they realize what they forfeited, they can't blame him.
No.
They're the ones that judge themselves unworthy of.
And they didn't have to leave.
They didn't have to leave.
Now, I don't care how mad that rich young ruler got.
Right.
He could have said, now, Jesus, now you listen to me. That's the worst thing I ever heard in my life. I can't stand the idea of it. It's really hurting me, sir. I've done my best to keep these commandments, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not leaving you. You're going to have to help me with this because I know somehow or another you got the answer
exactly
to eternal life.
Exactly
now, and he would have worked with him. He would have stayed with him, but he didn't do it. He got him left.
The scripture says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And like these guys, like the rich young ruler, if they're going, I just don't understand. Why would he say that? Why would he tell me that? Well, why don't you hang around and find out?
Yeah.
Just stay with him. Just keep going long enough and more light will come. But if you say, I can't go along with this that I don't understand, that just you're just simply saying, I refuse to walk by faith. I refuse to trust him.
That's the bottom line of it.
That's what it is. I have to see it, I have to understand it, or I'm not gonna do it. And I don't understand it, so I'm not gonna trust you enough.
Thomas did that.
Yeah.
He said, they came in and said, we've seen the Lord. He said, nah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe that.
No.
If I can't see those nail holes and that hole in his side, I will. His will was involved in it.
Yeah.
He said, I will not believe it.
Yeah.
Now, he'd been walking with these guys for over 3 years, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
He knew these men. He knew they were not a bunch of liars.
Yeah.
But he made up his mind. I don't understand that. If I don't see it, I ain't going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, Thomas, quit being faithless.
Yeah.
So we're back to that faithless condition again.
Yes.
Gracious.
When people make this statement, Brother Kenneth, they say, well, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. That is a lie. There's no such thing as a person that can't believe something. It, by very nature of what faith is.
That's true.
What the person has done, if they said it accurately, they would say, I choose not to believe that. It's a choice. And when you choose not to believe something the person is saying, you're choosing not to believe in their integrity as a person. And that's why it's such a serious offense to talk to God, to talk to the Master, who have never lied, cannot fail, and say, well, if I don't understand that, I'm not going to believe that.
Man.
And if you do that, you disqualify yourself. You judge yourself unworthy.
Wow, did you get anything out of this today? Boo, I did. Praise God. Man, Brother Keith and I'll be back in just a moment.
We are all born equipped with God-given talent and ability. God's grace works for us to guarantee our success. When we apply our skills in the wrong place, it's easy to say we are failures. What we say about our situation impacts its outcome. What we believe about our abilities creates opportunities. When we're out of our place and operating without grace, it's easy to feel like a failure. Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore's teaching series, Grace, Your Place for Opportunity, Ability, and Success, combined with Kenneth Copeland's mini book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be, are powerful resources designed to empower you to obtain success in all areas of your life. The techniques they reveal teach you how to break the cycle of persistent problems you face, discover your unique skill set, and develop a more intimate relationship with God. Discover your grace and get into your place. Order the teaching series, Grace, Your Place for Opportunity, Ability, and Success for just $14, and you'll also receive Kenneth Copeland's latest mini-book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be. Please specify your choice of DVD or CD for the teaching series. Receive an additional product discount and faster processing when you purchase your copies online. Go to our website, kcm.org, for these and other ministry products. Walk in God's grace and establish His ways in your life today.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't care what kind of junk you heard, you do it right now. Just pray this. Pray it out loud where you can hear it. You pray with Brother Keith and me. Oh God in heaven.
Oh God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Fill me with your Spirit.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I remember when I prayed that first time, I thought, I tell you what, I'm a Christian, and I don't care who knows it. You ought to be the same way. Yeah. If you prayed that with Brother Keith and me, let us know. I want to send you this little book to help you get started studying and reading your Bible, and you begin to nourish on the very food and life of God. Amen. And listen, it's free. I'll pay the postage on it. God bless your heart today. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They would like to send you some free information to help you get started in your new life in Christ. Request your free salvation package on our website at kcm.org. A book, He Did It All For You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Fear's major job is not to scare you. Fear's major job is to torment you and to cause you to doubt the Word of God. That's what it does before it does anything else.